Join me in Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5, I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Please hear this word of God. It is holy. It is inspired. And it is inerrant as given to us by the Holy Spirit. It is a word that we can live with and own, and it is indeed good for all aspects of our faith and our life. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you, that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself in love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from observing the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and Paul's sternness of speaking against those who are leading them astray. Paul is continuing his argument here, if you will, that we discussed last week, the ongoing argument between the law of circumcision and that free offer of the gospel through the grace of Jesus Christ. He is getting in a little bit more precise here, and he's telling the people that he cannot believe they have fallen away, and that if they do fall away, then they have nothing to do with Jesus Christ and grace. And as I said last week, it's becoming a nationality thing. That these who are teaching circumcision are saying, you must become Jew. You can believe in Jesus Christ, and I think they were saying that just to appease, but you must be circumcised, meaning you must look like and act like a Jew. But Paul is saying, no. It is the grace of God through Jesus Christ that has saved you, and it is through that grace and that grace alone that you will have part and part of Jesus Christ. But it is this first verse that I want to give attention to, because I believe here it sums up the objective of the gospel and one of the greatest characteristics, one of the greatest aspects of the Christian faith: freedom. For me personally, the love of Christ, the love of God is incredibly important. Forgiveness of sin is, I can't rank it high enough. But for living day to day, this aspect of freedom, for me, is probably one of the greatest characteristics of the Christian faith. Freedom. I almost exhale when I say the word. Freedom. Freedom from sin. Through salvation in Jesus Christ, we have freedom from the burden and the bondage of sin. Freedom from laborious, unjust rules and expectations. Freedom, listen carefully, freedom from the guilt of not being good enough. Freedom from a works righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, we have freedom from all of these things. And through salvation in Jesus Christ, we have freedom to be all and everything Jesus desires us to be. Freedom. I've said this many times, I think the title of preacher should have a subscript. And that subscript should read, "The Bearer of Freedom." Because quite frankly, I think my job is to bring the good news to you, and through the working of the Holy Spirit in your particular life, in your particular case, every one of you being different in some regard, through that good news freeing you from that which traps you, holds you, bars you. Because we preach the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are in bondage of sin and who are in bondage to the ploys and the lies of Satan. And this is indeed the good news, the gospel, which brings freedom. Jesus says in John 8, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I ask, do you believe that? Do you believe that? He sets you free. Do you believe that you are free? Romans 8, Paul teaches, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And this is exactly what Paul is teaching in Galatians. He's trying to teach them that the law, while it protected in the early days, is now the curse of death, because you cannot meet the law, which means you are condemned. And if you continue to try to meet the aspects of the law, you are condemned. It is only through the work of Jesus Christ that we find salvation. And that requires no work, which is the challenging aspect of Christianity. You mean I don't have to do anything? No. I don't have to do a little good work to get it? No. I don't have to be a good to my neighbor to earn it? Nope. Well, at least let me pay him back and maybe I can repay the debt. You know, it's such a huge gift that I've been receiving that I can work to give it back. No. No. And no. It's free. Now, please understand, we are to follow the commandments of God, but it's out of a joyous heart of love that we do that. Not to earn, but to show Him that we love Him. And so we do follow the commandments. As I said, as a preacher, I am one who fights for freedom and the freeing of the people from the bondages of rules and unjust expectations. You see, this is Paul's message to the Galatians. He had preached them the gospel of freedom. He had preached them the gospel of grace. He had preached them the love of Jesus Christ, and that grace and that salvation was theirs at no cost. And yet they were wanting to go back to working. He is fighting for freedom for the Galatians. He is fighting for freedom from the tyranny of the bondage. You see, these who were preaching circumcision, it was like putting a set of handcuffs on them and saying, yes, you can live, but you're going to do it this way. And so they walk around all day long under the bondages of the tyranny of this traditionalism, if you will. He says emphatically in verse 1, it is for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, given the context and the form of this sentence, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That means that at one point in time, we were indeed slaves. That means that at one point in time, we were indeed in bondage. We did walk around with the handcuffs. We did walk around under the burden of sin. We were slaves to sin. We are, before redemption, slaves to the sinful nature. We do what our nature is inclined and given to do, which before salvation is sin. You can't help it. It's who you are. And it's that great burden of darkness. Our minds, our consciences, our wills, our bodies, our actions, all were slaves to the bondage of that old sinful nature. But Jesus Christ, He is the foremost freedom fighter. He is the foremost one who has brought freedom by upholding every aspect of the law. He met every detail of it. And so He pleased the Father. And He stood in justice before the Father as completely fulfilling the law. You know, many times we thank Jesus Christ for His crucifixion. We thank Jesus Christ for His resurrection. We thank Jesus Christ that He died for our sins and He raised again so we could live throughout eternity. And praise the Lord for every aspect of that. But how many times do we thank Jesus Christ for the living of His life? He came incarnate and He lived a sinless life. He completely fulfilled the law. Completely fulfilled the law. Never sinned. And through His giving of His life, He brought you and me along and said, I'm doing this on your behalf. So if we go back, and this is what Paul's trying to teach the Galatians. If you go back and try to fulfill the aspects of the law, then you're saying Jesus Christ is not good enough. His life lived was not good enough. His sacrifice on the cross for you is not good enough. You've got to do a little bit more. Come on, get with it. And see, all that's just Satan's lies. Because Satan doesn't want you to know your freedom. Satan doesn't want you to know that you're free. He wants you to think you're living under this cloud of burden. I'm just not good enough. Nothing I do pleases. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. Through Jesus Christ, the Christian is free from any kind of performance-based religion. The old hymn, Rock of Ages. Some of you could probably sing it by heart. The third stanza, I believe, reads, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to Thee for dress. Helpless, look to Thee for grace. Foul, foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. You know, I could say amen and stop there. If we truly lived that out, if we truly understood that, nothing can I do to gain salvation. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Going back to the latter half of verse 1 there, he says to stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You know, we have cats. We like cats. Old Bob in the house. Over the last couple of months, for some reason or other, through my inability to shut the door well, Bob has made it outside, which ain't good. And so we bring Bob back in the house. And now, every time the door cracks, thank you, he's right there. You know why? He's tasted freedom. He smelled the green grass. Now, he hasn't seen the things out there that could hurt him because he has no claws, but he's tasted that freedom. And so when I come to the door, he's standing there. Maybe he'll leave it open again. And I did, and then he went out. But see, the taste of freedom, once you have it, once you understand it, once it's ingrained in you, you will fight. You will fight. Don't put those shackles back on my hands. Don't tell me I can't do this. Don't tell me that there are rules established in this religion that bind me. Personally, I will fight that. Paul is telling the Galatians, stand firm and do not let anyone put you back under that yoke of slavery. Don't let anyone put that collar around your neck again. Don't let anybody take away the freedom that you have gained through the grace of Jesus Christ. Picture in your mind the old oxen paired up together, pulling the weight of that yoke. Not able to travel as they desire, they travel exactly as the reins tied to that yoke drive them toward. They have no freedom. They follow that row. The farmer turns them around and heads them back down. They have no option. They are bound to that yoke. That's you and me. If we submit to those rules and to that bondage and to those things that bind us, I have no choice. I am given to the rules. And this is what Paul is saying. If you're going to be given to the rules, then give yourself to the rules and follow them all. Well, no, I just like parts of them. No. If you go down this road, you better go. Which then you will learn is death. Paul actually encourages them to go off and entirely mutilate themselves. Ouch. We were at one time under the yoke of this old law, but as I've said, we've been set free. Christ came, he fulfilled the law, living to the full demands, keeping every law. He died for our disobedience. He died so that we could be free. Now we follow the commandments because I love him. Because I desire to out of my heart. Not to gain, not to earn, but out of love. Today I don't think we're so much plagued in keeping the law. I pray we all understand, as I said last week, that there are aspects of the law and we do it out of obedience. The laws of God, they show us who God is. We can see his character and his nature in the law. In the law, we see our character and nature as well, and we see we're not good enough and we need help, and we turn to Jesus. Also, the law shows us what is pleasing to God. So I think the Old Testament law doesn't plague us quite like our first century brothers and sisters here. However, our freedom in Christ is restrained in many times in many other ways. And so I ask you, what burdens you? What has entrapped and caused you to be in bondage? What bars you from living freely in the love and grace of Jesus Christ? Possibly our own hesitancy. Possibly our own reluctance to really believe this is as true as it is published to be. Maybe we just don't see that Jesus can be really all that he says he can be. Maybe we just don't quite understand what that level of freedom means, and so we're reluctant to really dive in. Take the risk. Some of us like rules. We like to know where the borders are. We like to know that, okay, there's the limit, I'm back. Some of us like to use those rules on others. They tell us where the borders are. What holds you back from the freedom in Jesus Christ? I want to enter into an area here that I know plagues many of you. And I do this respectfully, but very honestly. For many in this room, the relationship with our parents causes bondage. There are quite a few of us in this room whose parents, who raised us the best they could, and we do okay. But for many, the expectations of mom and dad weigh heavy. Because those expectations were miscommunicated, misguided. Many of you in this room are still waiting for mom and dad to say, I love you. Many in this room are still waiting for daddy to say, I'm proud of you. And it never comes. Many of us are waiting for our parents to recognize us as adults and the freedom, responsibility that comes with that. Many in this room have had or have parents who did not show appreciation, love, care, and you're waiting for that love and acceptance to come, and you work for it. You burden yourself to try to be that so that mom and daddy will say that which you long to hear. I know this because many of you have had the confidence in coming and sharing that with me. And it's not my intention to point anyone out. And so I do this very generally. No, this isn't a religious thing, but it is a thing of bondage. Many are confused about the love of God, the Father, because your own father was not so loving. And when we speak about the Father's love, it just doesn't communicate. Satan uses those things to keep you burdened, to keep you trapped, to keep you telling yourself that, well, I'm just not good enough. They don't love me or appreciate me or think I'm can do this on my own. And I'm sorry. And there is a cure, and there is healing. It first comes with our expectations of our parents. Maybe you just expect too much. And I would also ask you to put your confidence and your expectation of that acceptance, of that approval, of that encouragement, not in your parents, but in Jesus Christ. Because he's already told you what he thinks of you. He's already shown you that, yes, you're a sinner and you can't help yourself, but that he loves you enough, that he died on the cross for you, that you could understand his love and his freedom through his redemption. And that is true freedom. Someone on this earth can tell you that they love you 100 times over. And I'm thankful for that. But it will still never measure up to that place when you understand the love and the grace and the acceptance and the understanding and the compassion of Jesus Christ. Are you free in Jesus Christ? Or are there those things that still maintain its grip on you? I pray that you would let them go. I pray that you would let them go. Let the Holy Spirit work within and through and remove those things. Because I promise you, once you taste the freedom, it's an amazing thing. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. And I pray for the people sitting here before us. You know each of their stories. You know what holds them. Father, free them. Allow your spirit to work wonders in their life. For those who have come to know the freedom of Jesus Christ, then praise the Lord and let us teach others. Let us show others that we can come out of the bondages We can come out from under the expectations and live free. That we can live free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.